If you are Australian, chances are you know the rock band called the Go-Betweens. The band has been influential around the world, although it's not as well known in the U.S. In 2006, one of the group's founders died suddenly of a heart attack, and the Go-Betweens came to an end. Now one remaining member, Robert Forster, has put out a solo album. Our music critic, Robert Christgau, likes it.
The impolite truth is that Robert Forster was the Go-Betweens' lesser half. Grant McLennan, Forster's friend and partner for his entire adult life, took up music at Forster's urging. But it was the late McLennan who again and again gave this song band what every song needs most, a good tune. That was perhaps the Go-Betweens' catchiest song, Right Here, from their Tallulah. The catchiest song on Forster's first solo album in 12 years, The Evangelist, is It Ain't Easy, and the melody on that one is McLennan's too, one of half a dozen he and Forster were working out when McLennan died.
And a river ran and a train ran and a dream ran through everything that he did. There was melody, there was harmony, there was sweet cherie, but it was melody he loved most of all.
Forster borrows two other McLennan tunes on this contemplative, rather mournful record. But the opener is solely his own, If It Rains, about a literal drought and, more generally, environmental peril.
If it rains, we'll worship again. We've seen what came without the rain. We'll be thankful that it came. If it rains.
That stark, almost religious reverie is followed immediately by Demon Days, a less pointed song of disquiet, further softened by another Grant McLennan melody.
And these demon days were pulling our pay. The lights on the hill are freezing us still. The fingers of fate stretch out and take us to a night. Something's not right. Something's gone wrong.
I like both these songs. I like every song on The Evangelist, which is easily Robert Forster's strongest solo CD. But the odd thing is that although McLennan's Demon Days is catchier, in the end, the old Forster All the Time, If It Rains, is more striking and sticks harder. That's how it was on all three albums the Go-Betweens released in this decade, after an amicable 10-year layoff. McLennan's facility always drew you in, but Forster's sensible, prosaic voice made a deeper and sharper impression. Artistically as well as personally, Forster will miss his dearest friend for the rest of his life. Songs have never come easy to him, so he may well draw on McLennan's tune stock again. But if he comes up with material as strong as The Evangelist's title cut, about bringing his wife to Australia from her native Germany, he'll be fine.
I took her out of her home, a cabin near the woods, and took her to this desert with threatening neighborhoods. Well, I believe.
The new album by Robert Forster is called The Evangelist. Our reviewer, Robert Christgau, writes the Consumer Guide column of music for MSN Networks.
Baby, there was gold in that dust.
Our program is directed by Greg Dixon, edited by Allison McAdam, and produced by Neil Carruth. The technical director is Bill Deputy. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson.
At the National Desk, Steve Drummond, Uri Berliner, Cindy Johnston, Ron Elving, Beth Donovan, Ken Rudin, Quinn O'Toole, Elisa Barba, and Kate Kincannon. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Let's sail away, baby. Let's sail.
The star known to millions as Hannah Montana says she's embarrassed. Miley Cyrus is 15 years old, and she appears in Vanity Fair magazine wearing only a sheet. NPR's Kim Masters reports this is not the first time a Disney star's behavior has clashed with a carefully cultivated image.
The pictures have set off a raging controversy, not just because Miley Cyrus is young, but because she's made a point of promoting a wholesome image, as in this scene from her hit show, Hannah Montana.
Listen, guys, it's not my dad's fault. We had a deal. School always comes first, and if I can't get at least a B in biology, the closest we're going to get to Paris is French toast.
Disney, the company behind Cyrus's show and merchandise and movies, has attacked Vanity Fair, saying, quote, "A situation was created to deliberately manipulate a 15-year-old in order to sell magazines." Vanity Fair responded in a statement that the young star's parents and or minders were on the set and saw a digital version of the photo, and everyone thought it was a beautiful and natural portrait. One thing that seems clear is that Cyrus is in what you might call an awkward tween stage. On Alley Cats, a social networking site for girls 10 to 15, there are many posts with different takes on the photo spread. OMG, reads one, she is being way too mature for 15. Others say Cyrus was trying to show she's growing up. Denise Restari runs Alley Cats and says reaction in the posts is mixed, but there is consensus on one point.
Most of the girls are saying, but she's disappointing us or disappointing the younger girl because she's supposed to be a role model.
Restari thinks the reaction to the pictures has been amplified because other provocative shots of Cyrus have turned up lately on the internet, such as one where she flashes a lime green bra under her tank top. And the disappointment isn't just about Miley Cyrus.
You're dealing with girls who their hearts have been broken by Britney, by Lindsay, by the celebrities they loved.
Brittany, Lindsay, and of course, High School Musical star Vanessa Hudgens, whose revealing photos made the rounds on the internet. And that's leaving aside Nickelodeon's problem with Jamie Lynn Spears, star of Zoe 101, pregnant at 16.
You have to sort of expect things are going to happen when you have these young women kind of getting older and doing more things that maybe aren't so G-rated.
Joey Bartolomeo is a senior writer for Us Weekly magazine. She says the middle teens are tough for stars whose fans tend to be younger.
They're kind of outgrowing the 10-year-olds, but at the same time, those are their fans.
Bartolomeo thinks Cyrus may have gotten ahead of herself with the Vanity Fair photos, but she doesn't think they'll necessarily hurt her.
People are talking about her, which is a good thing, and people are maybe looking at her in a different light and not like, oh, well, she's just this girl on the Disney Channel. So in a way, this could help her.
But to Denise Restare, it seems too soon for Miley Cyrus to turn her back on the young girls who make up her fan base.
So when you're making billions like she is, and you're selling out concerts, and you're doing everything, you really don't need the publicity right now. And I'm sitting there thinking, but why?
It's a safe bet that millions of Hannah Montana fans are asking the same question. Kim Masters, NPR News.
On Mondays, we focus on technology. Today, we look at websites that bring hungry web surfers together with their favorite foods. Plenty of sites on the internet allow ordinary people to review restaurants, and good reviews on sites like Chowhound and Yelp can help a restaurant. Now, tech-savvy food lovers are creating a new kind of culinary website that steers people towards smaller, harder-to-find eateries. Cyrus Farivar reports.
It's a Friday evening in Sacramento, California, and Joshua Lurie Terrell is setting out for an early dinner at one of his favorite taco trucks in the northern part of town.
Dos lengua? I have a bottle of water, too. What do you want?
He's the creator of YumTacos.com, an online map of taco trucks in the United States. It's a great example of a new category of websites that alerts people to small restaurants that probably would never make it into a fancy food guide. It focuses primarily on California. Lurie Terrell lives here in Sacramento.
You know, I was keeping a list. I carry a little notebook usually around with me. I don't have it right now. And I was keeping a list, and as soon as a couple of friends of mine knew I had this list, people were calling me all the time saying, you know, I'm in the South area. I'm really hungry. It's like 10 o'clock. I had pho already this week. I need something different. I'd say, oh, taco truck at, you know, the corner of 65th and Stockton, and there they were.
From there, it was a short leap to compiling this information on an online map. He's a graphic designer by trade and loves maps. Plus, his wife is a cartographer. Once he had the map, people from around the country started writing in.
There's several in Baltimore, Maryland, which was kind of surprising to me. I've been to Baltimore many times, and it did not seem like the kind of place where you had any hope of finding authentic Mexican food.
Lurie Terrell is turning people onto small businesses that they might not otherwise find. One of the earliest food maps was made by Adam Kubin, the founder of SliceNY.com, a blog devoted to pizza, and specifically New York pizza.
I could just as easily put the pizzerias in a list, say, in the sidebar or some such. But the advantage of having it on a map is that it's visual and people can click on it. They can zoom in to their neighborhood and see, like, hey, there's five pizza slices here, which is what I use on the map, pizza slices, for my pinpoints. That means there's good stuff around me. And then they can go and look and see where it is.
But what if your neighborhood is the entire country? That was the problem for Brian Huey, a graduate student at the University of Southern California who splits his time between Los Angeles and the Bay Area. Huey is like a lot of Chinese immigrants who don't cook. They comprise a large market of people nationwide who want a little taste of home. That's how ChineseFoodMap.com was born, an entirely Chinese language site with reviews plotted in major metro areas around the country, including Houston, Seattle, and Atlanta. But chances are, your favorite local Chinese restaurant isn't on the list.
The Chinese restaurant for Chinese here and the Chinese restaurant for non-Chinese is kind of totally different. That's why Chinese people need a website for themselves.
If you can't read Chinese and feel like you're missing out on the good stuff, fear not. Huey wants to help his favorite Chinese restaurants get new, non-Chinese customers. He plans on completing an English version of the site by the end of the summer. For NPR News, I'm Sarus Farivar.
Our last word in business today comes from Liberty City. That's a fictional place that just happens to resemble New York City and is the setting for Grand Theft Auto 4.
The latest installment of this incredibly successful video game enterprise goes on sale today. Many retailers opened their doors at midnight, so those who could not wait to start sowing some virtual mayhem could get started early. Gamers and critics are raving about the graphics and what they describe as a nuanced storyline.
One fan told Reuters, it gives you a chance to escape reality. This game has everything. Sex, drugs, cars, money, anything you want.
Like this show. Same thing.
Business News comes to you from Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.